Joe Grisecki, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Yeah, hey, everybody, it's No Slofgren. You're listening to Iron City Rocks. You keep rocking and stay safe.
Hey, this is Southside Johnny from the Asbury Jukes, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks. Yes, you are.
Welcome to episode 540 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 540, a man who really needs no introduction in the city of Pittsburgh, Southside Johnny Lyon of Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, a man who has been making amazing music all the way back to the 70s, has been to Pittsburgh more times than I can count. And he's coming back again to do a show October 24th at the Carnegie Library Music Hall down in Homestead. So an awesome opportunity to get a chance to talk to a real musical legend. The Jukes, Asbury Jukes, have obviously been a band that Steve Van Zandt played, and he's written many of their songs. John Bon Jovi did a tour with them. Obviously, they're no strangers to working with Bruce Springsteen. So a man who really, really has had a very blessed career, and I call it a career. He's been doing this as long as, like I said, many of us have been alive. Southside has been making great, great records. So he's going to be coming into town to do a show, so we thought we'd get a chance to talk to him. Wanted to get his thoughts on the new Steve Van Zandt Disciple movie that is currently playing on HBO Max, if you haven't had a chance to see it. Highly recommended, because obviously it delves into Steve Van Zandt's career from being Miami Steve Van Zandt to little Steven Van Zandt, and kind of walks through his time with the Asbury Jukes, the songwriting, the partnership with Southside Johnny, and then goes into his career with Bruce Springsteen, and then his solo career. So it was a really awesome opportunity to introduce maybe a generation of fans who came along a little too late to know about the whole Jersey Shore kind of rock scene and get a real historical look at it. So it was very, very informative, and it really did a very nice job of shining light on a lot of Southside's music, and I had an opportunity to pick up some of his albums recently and just love the music he produced. So really delighted to have a chance to talk to him. So without further ado, Southside Johnny Lyon.
But I don't want to go home.
Lord, I know that it's killing me, but I don't want to go home. I know heavy people tapping me, but I don't want to go home. Listen to the man sing his song. I don't want to go home. I don't mind if it takes all that long. I'm gonna sweep. soul. She had to learn what it seemed along. Said, I know that it's time to go, but I don't wanna go home.
Gentlemen, my distinct pleasure to welcome to Iron City Rocks. We have Southside Johnny on the line. How are you doing today?
Everything is beautiful in its own way.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have an opportunity to talk to you. We really appreciate your time. You are going to be rolling into Pittsburgh for what is probably your millionth show in Pittsburgh here on October 24th. blessed to have you back a few times since the pandemic ended. And I think people are going to be really excited. One of the things I wanted to ask you first off, just had the opportunity to watch the Little Steven Disciple movie, which, you know, I think did a really nice job of shining light on your career. Have you noticed kind of an uptick in interest? You know, as weird as that, you know, how many decades into your career, but did that do a little bit, you know, put some eyes on you that you didn't expect?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's been a number of things. There's the History of Asbury Park movie and all of these different, there's this book about the Stone Pony. Hmm. All of that brings, you know, awareness to people that there is music out there and names that they can remember. But it also reminds people of a show that they might have seen 20 years ago. And they may come to another show just because they are reminded of that. So every little bit helps.
Yeah, it was interesting for me, you know, because a lot of like your early albums, I was pretty young at the time. I have to admit, I was, you know, not buying records quite yet. And to watch that, I was like, okay, I remember the, I don't really remember much before the Sun City Little Steven. So then to watch the clips of your band and his work with you really, to me, shine a light and kind of literally drove me to the record store to pick up the first couple albums. So I'm pleased. You know, I think the documentary is very well made. Obviously, it was about his career more so than anybody's, but I think it did a really nice job of kind of blending in, you know, those who were with him at the time, including yourself, Bruce, obviously. So just a phenomenal film. I highly recommend anybody have a chance to see it. The show you're going to be doing, I did a little snooping around at set lists you've done recently. Your show's kind of stream of conscious when it comes to set list, or how do you approach that? Do you have kind of like, I want to do these five or six and call them out?
Yeah, stream of consciousness that's a nice way of putting it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I, you know, we flounder around on stage. Actually, I have an idea of what I want to, the attitude I want to take on stage, but that can change. If I walk out and see an audience that is really enthusiastic and I thought I was going to have a more contemplative show, that changes immediately. You know, you read the audience, you read yourself too, but every night has to be different. Otherwise, you know, you might as well be working in a cubicle in an office.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it that way. It gives me a chance to try out different things, and the band likes it because it keeps them on their toes too.
Yeah,
and the audience likes it because they don't know what they're going to see. It just sort of evolved over the years that if you have enough confidence in your material and your band and yourself and the audience, you could do anything you want on stage practically.
Johnny, I think you really hit it with the word
confidence. And I want to do some strange things.
The word confidence, I think, is really the thing. I remember talking to Nils Lofgren a couple years ago and him spouting off some number of songs they performed on a tour. I think it was one he did with Tom Morello and Bruce. And I was like, just blown away by that. But you're absolutely right. I think it takes a certain level of confidence in your band, confidence in yourself, confidence in your audience to go there with you. You know, some people, they want to see, you know, give me Johnny's greatest hits, you know, whatever, you know, that in their mind that constitutes. But to be able to do that and, you know, to trust your fellow musicians on stage to go there with you is an amazing level of maturity for a band. So that's...
Well, I think so. You know, it takes you a while. It takes you a while to get to that place. But even from the beginning, I mean, early in my career, I saw Iggy and the Stooges, and Iggy was just freeform on stage.
Mm, yeah.
I learned a lot from that. You know, you do what you want to do, and you just got to put your heart and soul into it, and you do know that there are certain songs that people are going to want to hear. That's not a problem at all. As long as they give you a little room to try out different things or do different songs. You know, when you have a band like I have, you could do jazz, and rock and roll, blues, rhythm and blues, country. We do all those kinds of things because I trust them. And I don't know if they trust me, but they're stuck with me anyway.
Hey, you're the name on the marquee. They've got to go with you. Does it, yeah. This may be a weird question, but I just caught your good friend Bruce's show recently, and I thought about one of the things that probably aids in his ability to do that and yours as well is somewhat the lack of, and I don't want to say the lack of production, like it's a bad thing, but you're not playing to synchronize videos. You don't have, you know, pyrotechnics to worry about. You guys can just be musicians, and that's enough to bring an audience in, you know, where some bands, you know, it's all very choreographed. They've got a thing in their ear telling them what's going. They've got a click track giving them the tempo so it lines up with the videos. Does that kind of, I mean,
yeah,
it, in a way, help a band like yours get to that level of maturity because you can make lefts and rights live on stage based on the feedback you're getting from the audience?
Yeah, it has to be more organic than that. I mean, I've seen acts like that too. That's just something beyond us. First of all, pyrotechnics on the stage, it would not be a good thing for me because I don't even know where I'm going to be half the time. I'll probably get blown off the stage. But I remember we did a show in Germany and they wanted to film it, and they were going to mark cues for when I sang this song and when the guitar player went. I went, "You're out of your mind. I didn't even know what songs we're going to do." And so they were forced to wing it, and it's just this, it's more normal, more natural. It feels as though the audience can partake in it instead of just watching a spectacle. They can shout out songs, you know, all the things that you're free to do in an audience. You know, we don't know what we're doing, and they don't know what we're doing, and that's the way I like it.
Yeah, it is. It's such a neat thing, and I think anybody who hasn't, even maybe some younger fans who haven't seen shows done in that manner, it's something to behold because it does blow your mind that, you know, you could just call out a song from a catalog, and you know, you've got musicians who are competent enough to, you know, even if they need to have the charts, go there with you and not, you know, rehearse it for 6 weeks so it's down pat perfect and, you know, like I said, all played to a click track. It's just it's something that's, you know, I think in some respects,
wow,
some things that are missing in, you know, not every artist, but the vast majority of shows you see are so choreographed that it's refreshing to see it.
Yeah, well, when they're big spectacles like that, they have to kind of be choreographed, you know, because you got dancers and lights and all that stuff. We, you know, that's just not what we do. You know, it's just not what we do.
Have you, in the grand scheme of things, thought about doing another studio album? I know it's been a couple of years since the last one, or is it to the point where it's maybe not cost prohibitive or time prohibitive to do.
The idea of an album is, I think that's kind of passé now. You put songs up when you record them so people can download them. People don't really buy CDs anymore.
Sure.
And, you know, vinyl is a different thing. Vinyl is a specialist market. But if we record four songs, I'm going to put all four of them up on the website, and you can download them for $1 or whatever the heck they
come,
you know, whatever denomination they come up with. I don't think, you know, if you wait till you get 12 songs for an album, you know, I just don't have that many. I'm not Bruce, who writes 50 songs a day.
Yeah, it has the afternoon to make a concert film. Spewing songs. The vinyl thing has been kind of a neat thing, because I think it's, again, when I mentioned, I think before the interview started, you know, I kind of watched Disciples and went off and bought some of those vinyls myself, and it really, I think it's you're in the perfect medium there for your kind of music. It's very album oriented. So for the shows that you've got coming up in this run, do you kind of, even in a rough outline, kind of think, okay, I'm gonna, you know, maybe just majority stuff off the first five records, or I'm gonna do some stuff off Soul Time? Is it really, you know, kind of as you're rolling up to the venue, just we're gonna shout it, you know, throw out some ideas, or do you have kind of in your head, I'm gonna hit some of this material from this era? I guess era is the right word, as long as you've been doing this.
A millennium.
Yeah.
There are things I want to accomplish when we go on certain legs of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, as I said before, it depends on the night. I mean, one of the things that keeps you going is knowing that this night is not going to be like last night.
Right.
You're going to do things tonight that you won't do tomorrow night. And it just gives you the energy to go out and play, knowing that something is going to happen that you had not planned. And you've got to leave room for that. It can't just be rote, do the songs and leave.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be making some music. You have to take some chances.
Do you, this may be kind of a silly question, but I mean, you've been doing this now for, let's just call it 50 years, give or take.
50 years. Yeah.
Was there a point at which you thought, you know, I'm not going to do this for 5 years? I mean, or was this something like there was no backup plan? You know?
Oh, there was never any backup plan for any of us. No, God, no. Gary Talent, Stephen, Bruce, all of us were musicians. We didn't have a go-to thing that we could do. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't study anything else. There's certainly no brain surgeons amongst us, if I can say that. But, you know, we were dedicated when we were a teenager. When we were 16, 17, 18 years old, we thought, I'm not going to study accounting. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to find a career other than this. And if this career doesn't really take me anywhere, then I'll get a job.
Yeah.
Like anybody else, you know.
Always time to do that.
And live
after.
Off of that and still play music. Yeah. You were going to be playing on the weekends at the local place anyway. So if you had to get a job, you got a job, and you worked on the week and played on the weekends. But we luckily enough got caught up in a whole scene in Esrae Park, and we were playing all the time. And it wasn't a lot of money. It was hardly any money. But it was enough to sustain us so that we could say to ourselves, we are musicians, which is really the goal at the beginning, is just want to make music. I don't want to do anything else.
Was there a point along the way, obviously you put out your first album and a lot of bands kind of pat themselves on the back. We made it, we were signed. But, you know, the economics of being signed isn't always a reality. It's a perception. Was there a point at which, you know, maybe towards Hearts of Stone or you know, even further in where it was like, okay, I am now a professional musician and not just a weekend musician who put out a record? Because there are certainly weekend musicians who get to put out a record, one, two, and then go on and do their job, you know, outside of music. Was there a point at which you kind of said, hey, you know, hey, Mom, I'm a full-time professional musician?
I think you, after the first album, we went on the road for something like 7 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, small breaks here and there. And I think by the end of that, we knew that we could play. I knew that I could entertain. And that it really just solidified the desire to be a musician, to mm-hmm. be an entertainer, if you will.
Sure.
I mean, when you get to go to Paris and London and play in front of people and there's enthusiastic audiences, you go, I'm hooked. That's it. You know, no, I'm not going to quit. And unfortunately for me, I took that seriously.
Yeah, no, that's it. You know, 50 years isn't an accident, and it's certainly a conviction. Is there a point at which you think maybe it's time to slow down? I mean, you, obviously anybody who's seen you, you haven't slowed down, but I mean, is there a point at which you're like, yeah, maybe I have a, you know, kind of an end in mind, or is this just, I'm going to do it until I can't?
I've been threatening to retire for the last 10 years. So, and everybody just laughs when I say it.
We
have less gigs this year than we've had in years before, mm-hmm. but yes, still a lot of playing and a lot of travel. And, you know, that's the thing that gets harder is travel.
Yeah.
You're not 18 years old anymore, and you know, you got to go through the airport. You got to sit in the plane for 7 hours. You got to ride in the car for 5 hours. All of that takes a toll on you. But once you get on stage, all of that is forgotten because now you're all the way you went through to get to the gig is now going to be worthwhile. And it's always like that. So, you know, I mean, you know, I have no plans to retire, and I don't know about slowing down. We may do more shows next year than this year. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, and trust me, I've heard many a musician many years younger than you complain of the exact same thing. The other 22 hours of the day can really suck, but those 2 hours, you know, make it all worth it. So, Southside, I want to thank you so much. You'll be in town here to do a show at the Carnegie on the 24th. Tickets available now. It'll be a great night. I want to thank you so much for your time, man.
Well, thank you, man. Hopefully I'll see you at the show.
All right, a gigantic thank you to Southside Johnny Lyon for taking the time to talk to us. He will be in town, Southside John and the Asbury Jukes, on October 24th. That's a Thursday night show, 8 o'clock, at the Carnegie Library Music Hall of Homestead. You can get your tickets. You can go to IronCityRocks.com. We'll have a link. Or you can go to LibraryMusicHall.com. Get those tickets. Really inexpensive to see a musician the likes of which there are not many left. They can go into a show almost completely unscripted, play live rock and roll music. Just an awesome opportunity and something I think many of us have taken for granted over the years. That acts will be around forever, and I think, you know, the recent years have taught us that you need to see these while you can. Bruce Springsteen, a good friend of Johnny's, had a song that I think he introed very well in Pittsburgh called Last Man Standing, that was about the first band he was in, the first real band, and how he just a few years ago attended the funeral of one of his bandmates and realized he was the last of that band still alive. Not foreshadowing anything negative to Southside Johnny, but these are the kind of treasures that, you know, you're going to look back someday and say, boy, I should have seen them. I think we all have those in our list of artists that I should have seen them while I had the chance. And Southside, I think, is a treasure. So I want to invite you to check that out. Again, IronCityRocks.com. If you go to the episode show notes, we'll have a link for tickets, a link to Johnny's website, all the great information. You can also visit us on our social media, Iron City Rocks, on all of the social media platforms. Would love to get your feedback. IronCityRocks@gmail.com. Let us know types of music you're into, bands that maybe you would like to hear about that you haven't, bands maybe you don't want to hear about anymore, styles of music. You want more death metal? Do you want stoner metal, what, you know, let us know. We'd love to know what people are interested in hearing. You know, we do have kind of a wide breadth of artists we talk to, and we enjoy that. But we always love to hear feedback from listeners. So until next time, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen.